Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior we serve. What a glorious Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much. Thank you for the privilege of loving you and for the privilege of helping others to do the same. Thank you that you've given us this evening as an opportunity to cause others who don't know your love to know and to receive your great love, your great mercy, your great forgiveness. Holy Spirit, we ask that you supernaturally win hearts tonight, draw men and women to yourself, and cause your name to be praised. We love you so much, and we thank you for the privilege of sharing with you the joy of seeing lives saved. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, not too long ago, we had our first, what we would consider in my house, in my home, our first frost, you know. And whenever there's the slightest cool breeze in our house, at our apartment, you can take it for granted that within the few hours, my wife is going to break out all of the Christmas stuff. The slightest breeze, and now we have a couple of portable fireplaces and all kinds of, you know, snowmen and so on and so forth. They're singing their songs in front of them because we are a Christmas household. And I grew up, you know, with those same kinds of joys. Of course, when I grew up, you know, we waited until December, but still, you know, you understand the point is the same, you know. And Christmas Eve was just so wonderful because it would be, you know, the various gifts and everybody's gift would have their name on it and you would know exactly where your gifts are. They could be scattered throughout the tree and mixed with other people's gifts but you would know exactly because, you know, you'd rummage through and you know exactly where your gifts were. So you know how to pounce, you know what I mean, on Christmas morning. And so we would come down on Christmas morning and of course on Christmas Eve it just was so beautiful, so picturesque, you know, it looked like, you know, something on a Christmas card. But about 5 minutes after dawn on Christmas morning, I mean, the place was a mess. We would ravage those gifts and, I mean, tear into them and there was not a gift left under the tree. And every person who had a gift under that tree, who had their name on it, partook of what was there for them. Now, I've seen other situations where, say, you're at an office party or, you know, you're working in an office building, say, you're a maintenance worker or say you're a janitor or whatever, and say a Christmas party goes on in the office. And there's people that show up for the party and, you know, they have maybe some gifts. Each one has his or her respective gift under the tree. And, it's, you know, maybe some people will show up for the party. Others won't show up for the party. So at the end of a day like that, you know, you'll see that some gifts were taken and some gifts were opened. But there's usually a few gifts that are still there, you know, some straggling gifts that nobody opened. And you look at the gift and you realize that it was intended for somebody. The name is on the gift and it's wrapped beautifully. And but the person who was supposed to open the gift never showed up. In some cases, that person didn't show up because maybe they, you know, they had another party to go to. There was something else for them to do. There was some other place for them to be. And they thought, well, maybe, you know, this party is just an office party, but that party is going to be the party. That's the place to be. So I'm going to go there and, you know, I'll just miss this party or whatever the case might be. Another person might not have gone to that particular Christmas party because they just didn't know. They didn't get the memo, as they say. They didn't know that there was a party. So they never showed up. They didn't realize that there was going to be a party and that there was going to be a gift there with their name under the tree, as it were. So they just never showed up. Another person might not go because they maybe a bit of a disgruntled employee. You know, they just say, hey, you know what I mean? This person, you know, has done this to me or that to me. That's not been fair to me, whatever the case might be. I'm not going to show up at the party, you know. Other person might say, you know, I'm not going to show up because everybody that's going to be at that party is basically going to be a hypocrite. You know, they don't usually say hi to me throughout the course of the year. Why are they going to say hi to me now? You know, so I'm not going to go to this party. You know, there are various reasons why they don't go to the party. So when you walk by that tree or whatever, you see their gift is still there. Their name is still on it. They just never received the gift that was put there specifically for them. Now, for us as Christian people, we understand that there was a tree some 2,000 years ago upon which a man named Jesus died. And when he was dying on that tree, on that cross, the Bible says that he spoke a certain word and in essence gave a gift. And that gift was for everyone. And on that gift, you might say every single human person's name was written. And each person had to personally appropriate that gift. He said from that tree, "Forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they are doing." You see, every human person is on some level or another guilty of the blood of Christ, because you know how it is. We usually will say things like, "Well, I don't know if I want to serve the Lord for this reason or that reason, or I don't know." And sometimes we'll say things like, "I tell you what, if you show me God," you say, I don't believe him. I can't see him. "You show me God and then I will believe him. You show me God and then I will worship him. You show me God and then I will love him." And so God, in a sense, took us up on that. And he manifested himself and became a human person and showed us God. And instead of us embracing him and loving him, we took the very first opportunity that we had to lay our hands on him and we killed him. Every sin we ever commit is our way of saying, "God, I don't like you." Every sin we ever commit is our way of saying, "I want to act contrary to your character." Now, we needed to be forgiven for that. And so Jesus, from that tree, gave a gift to all humankind. "Father, forgive them, because they don't understand the magnitude of their sin. They don't realize the implications of what they're doing." And some people chose not to come to that particular party for the same reasons. Some said, "I don't like that man. I don't like that employer." The Bible says at a certain point that sometimes the nations rage against him and the peoples imagine vain things about him. And they say things about him like, "I don't like his leadership. I don't want him to rule over my life." And so they just don't come to the party, even though there is a package there with their name on it, a package of forgiveness. In other words, these are people for whom Jesus died, people to whom forgiveness has been extended, but they don't come for that reason. Other people say, "Well, I have another party to go to." As we heard one testimony tonight, I have other parties to go to. There are other things I'd rather do. There are other gifts I'm looking for in life. I really don't have time for that one. Another person might say, "Well, everybody that is at that particular party, they're just hypocrites. I know it. You know, I know that they're not real. I know that this and that, so I'm not even going to bother. I'm not going." Yet another person has just never been invited. Nobody ever came to them and told them that there was a party, that there was a gift for them, that there was forgiveness freely extended toward them. So there's many reasons why people have not received the gift that is theirs. It's still there under that tree, under Calvary's tree, still there for them. And they haven't come. And God whispered a word into my heart not too long ago. And he said, "You know, when it's all said and done, what's going to be the very hell of hell, the very essence of hell, is going to be this one thing that everybody who is there will know forever that they never had to go. Everybody who is there will be utterly and eternally tormented with the fact that everything that needed to be done for their freedom, for their life, for their happiness, for their forgiveness, for their joy was done. There was a gift under that tree that had their name on it. And they chose not to open it. Chose not to receive it. And forever, they will know that that gift was there for them. They will know that they didn't get thrown into a fiery hell by a God who was mad at them, but that they evaded and avoided the love of a tender God who sent his son to die for them. And that they had to scale the walls of his affection. Nobody just drops into hell. Nobody just happens to go there. It is an aggressive move to go to hell. You have to, as it were, bypass the open arms of a tender, loving God and crash through the barricades of his tender affection. It is an active and aggressive move. And everybody who finds themselves in that place will have to acknowledge, not only didn't I have to come here, but I made a point of coming here. But the heaven of heaven, the joy of heaven, is to know how we got there. That Jesus loved us so much that he died in our place and rose again because of his own righteous nature to prepare a place for us forever. We got there because he loved us enough to pay whatever it cost to get us there. And we will always look to him. Hallelujah. And rejoice in him as the very heaven of heavens. Tonight, my brother, my sister, there's a gift under the tree. And it has your name on it and it's not been opened yet. A gift of forgiveness. A gift of mercy. It's just waiting for you. You're already forgiven. You just have to appropriate it. You just have to believe it. You just have to receive it. You just have to say, God, thank you for it. You have to acknowledge your guilt. You have to acknowledge your failure. And you have to say, God, I need to be forgiven. I accept your forgiveness. I can't love you any other way. I can't believe you any other way. I can't find my way into your kingdom any other way. I can't rejoice in you forevermore any other way. I need you, oh God. I've sinned against you. I've turned my face against you. I've been complicit. I've been guilty in the blood of the Lord. But I'm so, so sorry. God, have mercy on me. I want to love you. I want to bless you. I want to honor you forever. I want to live the kind of life I was born to live. And then I want to go on to be with you forevermore. And not only that, but in the process, I want to help a few other people to do the same. Brother and sister, in this auditorium tonight, there is a gift for you. A gift of forgiveness. A gift of mercy. Under that tree, which is called Calvary's tree, which is called the cross of Jesus. Would you come and open that gift? Would you come and receive it? This can be the happiest day of your life, the merriest Christmas you could ever, ever imagine. God is with you to love you and bless you and draw you to himself and save you. Would you stand with me tonight in this auditorium, my dearly beloved? You heard the testimonies tonight. You heard the songs sung. You know that there's a gift for you. You know that there's hope for you. You know that there's freedom for you. If God is speaking to you tonight, don't hesitate. It's yours. It has your name on it. God wants to help you. He wants to save you. If you want to become a Christian tonight, if you're not a Christian and you want to become a Christian tonight, you want to open God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's love towards you, then please come to the front of this auditorium. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. This is the beginning of your life. And God is going to show you love that you could have never hoped for. God is with you to save you, to heal you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time in Jesus. God's hand is on you. It's an opportunity for you to open a gift that's been there for you for a long time. It's yours. Christ is yours and you're His. And you're in a wonderful place. Father, in Jesus' holy name, Lord, we pray in faith, acknowledging that you laid your life down to save me. I acknowledge, Jesus, that you are the Son of God and that you are the only means of true salvation. That you provided a gift for me when you said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Lord, you chose to forgive me of every sin, of every wrongdoing, but not only that. He chose to give me a heart now that no longer is driven by sin, but now that's driven to you. Lord, you forgave me and changed me because I choose to trust you. I put my faith in you now and acknowledge you as Savior. Spirit of God, help me now to live this life for you, to rejoice in you always, and to be useful in your hands, to not only rejoice in you, but to help others to do the same. God, I thank you for freedom. I thank you for liberty. I thank you for life. I thank you that I can be a loving person, a tender person, a person that can rejoice in your mercy. Thank you that I'm going to heaven, that I don't have to go to hell, that I don't have to worry about those things. Lord, I can rejoice in you and I can be in such a life, such a way that others might know that there is a God, because they can look at my life and see what the Lord has done. Father, I thank you, thank you, thank you for the privilege of being a Christian. Now, Father, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. Pray that you simply lay your hand upon each one. In tender love, oh God, just bless each one. Strengthen each one for your name's sake, for your glory's sake. We thank you for this, oh God. We love you and believe you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.